Okay. So, what is your name?
Mary Kaltenbaugh.
And where do you live?
North of Ashland, 3 miles.
Okay. And how old are you?
57.
Okay. And what's your occupation?
Rancher / farmer.
Okay. Now, when did you first hear about the fire that became known as the Starbuck Fire that was on March 6th?
Late that morning.
On Monday?
Yeah, late Monday morning.
And how did you hear about it?
I think probably Facebook, or maybe Kyle, our son, told me. I can't remember who told me about it.
Okay.
But you could see the smoke, so you knew there was one back there.
So, what were your thoughts and actions when you first learned that it was coming your way?
I did not know it was coming our way until our house got black, like it was night outside. I thought we were in the rocking chair. The fire was north of us and the fire was south of us, and I didn't have a thing to worry about. I was babysitting our year-old grandson. It was his birthday.
Uh-huh.
His mama had gone to Oklahoma City and for some training, and his dad was out helping fight fire and move cattle. So
did somebody come tell you that the fire was here, or how'd you learn?
It got black outside, and I grabbed him and got in a pickup and left, and the fire was 200 yards away from us. I had no idea it was near us.
So where'd you go?
Went to town and looked. Mark, my husband had told me to go back into town, and I looked that way, and it was just as black there as what I'd left, and I thought, I'm not going there. So I was going to go to Coldwater, and he called and said it was fine to come back into town, so I turned around at Sitka, and I could see the flames going by Sitka Hill. I said, nope, not going that way. So I called a golfing friend at Buffalo, and she said, sure, come on down. So I and three other cars headed towards Buffalo. And she called shortly thereafter and said, don't come here. The ashes are falling. They're going to evacuate Buffalo.
So you know what time?
I am thinking this. It was still daylight out, so this had to be 4:30 or 5, 4. I lost all track of time.
Yeah.
It was still daylight when I left the house, and it just got dark by the time I got to Coldwater. We went from Buffalo towards Alva, and the radio said, Alva and Freedom be ready to evacuate. And so we went on to Coldwater, and it was just dark when we got to Coldwater.
Where'd you go when you got to Coldwater?
Roy Hoffman had a rental house, and there's a bunch of us went there. And some nice people took care of Wade while I figured out what to do, and I ended up going back to Kyle's house. We got there probably about 11:30.
So did you go home at all?
We spent that first night at Kyle's house, and then we went home the next day.
And what did you find when you went home on Tuesday?
Still had a house and still had horses. I thought when I left the house would be burned down and all our horses. And Kyle had brought his horses over, and I figured they'd all be gone. And I did know the night before that they'd saved them because I called Mark and I said, I just want to know if the horses are okay. Because I had told him, I said, I'm sure the house is gone. And when Mark and Kyle and our daughter Erin and her husband and Rod Young, his house had already burned and he came down, had water, and the house was 2 foot from our back, or the fire was 2 foot from our back porch, coming down a flower bed. The fescue around the house didn't burn, but a flower bed had caught fire.
Mm-hmm.
And they put that out. The barns, we lost 2 barns, and they were on fire then. They were going to load the horses, and a trailer was standing there, and when they opened the trailer gate, the floor was burned out of the trailer. So we had a little patch of alfalfa, and they threw them on the alfalfa, and thankfully they were fine.
So were you keeping in contact with them all night?
Yeah. I kept in contact with Mark, and I kept in contact with Carrie, our daughter-in-law, because I knew Wade would wonder, or she'd wonder what was going on. She kept thinking she should come home, and I kept telling her, you can't get here.
Yeah.
No need to.
Yeah. So Tuesday morning, what were your plans for the day?
See what was left.
And then where'd you go from there?
We drove around, looked at dead cattle, and then found some live cattle. And I don't know why they were alive. And went to shooting cows.
So did you find any that you could save?
No, we really... They were either okay alive where they were past of saving. There was no line. We kept four that we thought were going to be okay. It became pretty evident their feet were shot.
So what kind of injuries did you find on the cattle that you had to shoot?
Burned hair. The hair was gone. Noses were swollen up so bad they couldn't breathe. Eyes were swollen shut. They couldn't see. Their feet hurt so bad they'd just rock on them back and forth. Ear tags melted in their ears and hanging on by a real thin thread of plastic. That amazed me. How hot, just how hot it got. We had a set of cows in a pasture, and every bit of the grass, every bit of grass we had burned. And there was, the majority of that set of cows did not have a scorched hair or bag on them, and I don't know why. They were fine. Nobody knows, can't figure out where they went, how they got out of getting burned.
No water anywhere close? Or?
There was a pond, but there was no mud on them, so they didn't go to the pond. That's a mystery we've got, is how they stayed alive.
Yep. So how much grass, acres wise, do you know how much you lost?
About 3,500 acres of grass we own and lease.
Fence?
Personally, we lost about 3 miles of fence. That was what we own. Landlords lost a lot more. I'm not sure. I've never heard a figure on theirs.
And cattle? Do you have a figure on cattle?
We lost 77 cows, 70 baby calves, and 53 replacement heifers.
So did you have any of the baby calves that got to go to Mead?
Yes. We had five.
Okay. And did they all survive?
They survived. They showed them in fair.
Fair. Oh, good. So do you have them back now?
No. They're going to keep them for holdover bucket calves for next year's fair.
Sounds like a plan. So you evacuated to Kyle's, which is in Englewood, right?
North of Englewood.
Did you go through any fire on the way over to his place?
No.
Did you see any fire or smoke over that way?
When we went to Kyle's, we went from Coldwater up through Greensburg and Mineola and south.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're going south of Mineola, as you looked east, south of the curves, just look east, and it was just a line of fire, just glow, all the way to Kyle's.
So, you know what? About what time that was?
That would have probably been 10:30. Yeah, when we left Mineola.
So, did you spend all day Tuesday with the cattle and making sure everything got where it needed to be, or?
Yeah, we all day Tuesday and Wednesday we shot cows and drug them to a pile.
So, did you have to have somebody come and look at the cows before you could bury them, or is that how you disposed of them?
Yes, we did bury them. The vet clinic did a fabulous job of getting somebody to do that for us. No, you could tell. I mean, we called them, and said, if there's a borderline, what is it? And they said, if their feet are bad, and so you could just tell. They're just miserable and shock. They weren't going to make it.
So how many death burial places did you have to build?
They dug two holes for us, two different pastures.
And it took care of all the cattle that you had,
mm-hmm.
that you needed to take care of.
Yep.
So, you said your barn burnt. There was all your tack in your barn?
Yeah, lost all our bridles, all our saddles, some bits that were kind of valuable to us, sentimental, saddles that fit you.
Did you find bits and pieces, or were they
all
just...
Yes, we found the bits. Some of them had silver on them, and it just melted in a big old glob. Big old glob of silver. We still have that out at the house. We sent some of the bits off to see if they could clean them up. They cleaned them a little, but they're done. They're toast.
Yeah, just too burnt.
Yep, too burnt. No, they talk about the tinsel and the metal. I don't know. So I don't want to get on my horse and pull and have a break.
The fire was so hot that
The fire in our pastures, the two pastures east of our house, or the three that burned, there was absolutely no ash or residue left on those. It was simply dirt and cow pies. I noticed up the road, grass that had burnt, there was residue, grass residue. Those burned so hot, there was nothing.
So when you left home, Monday,
yes,
when it was dark and stuff, how fast was the wind blowing? Could you tell?
No. I couldn't.
Didn't have any idea?
No. Hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say 45, 50, because I know what a 40-mile-an-hour wind feels like.
Yeah.
And it was blowing harder than that, and the flames were coming, and I thought, cripes, I waited. Shouldn't have.
Yeah. So on Tuesday and Wednesday, did you get all of the things that you needed done at your house completed, like cattle buried and kind of have an
probably
idea?
Probably by Thursday. Let's see, I think it was Tuesday. I had gone to get a bale of hay over towards Kyle. And we have Jim Cox's old place out there rented. And we had cattle on wheat pasture. And that fire had... I was marveling at the CRP hadn't burned across his house, you know, across from his house. And I'll be danged if it didn't catch on fire Tuesday. And burned around his house and off over into our corrals. And Kyle and our son-in-law went over there and got the cattle. The cattle would come out of the corrals to them, and they'd try and keep them on the wheat, and then they'd just circle around and go back in the fire in the corrals, see what was going on. We didn't lose any of those, but that was strange. So it burned. We got burned Tuesday, too.
So then, did you go help anyone else with
no.
cattle? Help just family or yourselves?
Just ourselves, because Mark and Kyle and Austin, our son-in-law, helped people Monday. Mm-hmm. But as I said, I had Wade, and I was frustrated I couldn't go help somebody somewhere.
Right. So basically moving cattle so they were out of the fire, getting them on to...
Kyle and my sister Steve... And or my sister Kelly and her husband Steve and their son-in-law Dustin Walker got a bunch of our cows off some grass out west of town towards Inglewood,
mm-hmm.
and they put them on Mike McCarty's wheat, and we saved those cows. And I think it was after they got them over there on that wheat, 2 hours later all that grass was gone. And so I know they helped a lot of people.
Okay. So now, did you get help from the volunteers that came from other places?
Yes. Tremendous help.
Can you remember some of the places they came from?
Yeah, we got some from, I believe, Pryor, Oklahoma.
Yep.
And we had some from Missouri, Unionville, I believe. Unionville, Missouri.
Okay.
Two different bunches from there.
What kind of help did you receive?
Fencing help. And then I should, one of Austin's friends and a bunch of his friends and father-in-law came down Tuesday or Wednesday and cleaned up the barns that burned. I was amazed. You know, people just showed up and helped there.
Yep. Did you get any hay?
We got lots of hay. We got lots of hay, and it was so welcome. I cannot tell you how much because I can't. I'm going to say 300 bales of hay at least.
Right.
So we lost like 500, but... We got lots of hay.
Yeah.
So thankfully the rains came and we didn't have to use much of it, but we did use it.
Yeah. So what do you think was the most vivid memory of the fire?
How black it got, how quick it got black outside. I've seen fire, but I didn't know it was going to get black.
Yeah.
Like night.
Like midnight.
Yeah, like... So shut the lights off.
So did you have any electricity at your house?
Yes, there was electricity. When I left, there was.
Did you have it when you got back on Tuesday?
Yep, I think so.
Okay. So what about food? What did you do for food Tuesday and Wednesday?
We were fine. We had food at the house.
At your house.
And then a lot of people brought food. So we were fine. That food was fine. Okay. Food and water, we were fine. So.
What's the biggest emotional part of the fire for you?
Losing the cows. I've told people several times I'd trade the house and everything in it for the cows and the grass back.
Yeah.
So
did you ever get a halter for your horse?
Yeah, Jim Arnold made me a halter. He heard I needed a halter and he made me two halters. Bless his heart.
Cool. Can't beat that.
No.
So what about people or agencies that proved helpful? Not only during the fire, but after the fire. Were there certain groups that came, you know, you mentioned the vet.
The vet clinic did an excellent job getting somebody to bury the cattle.
So they took care of that part, too?
They sent somebody out with
filling
an excavator.
Out the paperwork and all that stuff?
They helped fill it. Yeah, we filled it out. I'll say this, the government office was helpful.
The FSA?
They did as good as they could. Surprisingly, the government paid quickly on the cattle losses. I think it was 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Yeah, I was shocked.
Yeah.
Much better than the insurance, a lot quicker than insurance did anything. I don't know who fed all the people in town, but that was an amazing deal to do. They fed them for a long time. I know some of the people that were there, you know, but that was something amazing town people did for the agricultural community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're to be commended highly.
Yeah. Did you have any physical effects of the fire? Did you get burned? Did you?
No. Nope.
Nobody?
Nope.
Everybody was fine?
Everybody was fine.
No smoke inhalation or anything?
Nope.
Nothing that was major?
Nope. Health-wise, we're fine.
And financial is mainly the cattle and the...
Cattle. Yep.
Yeah.
So. Cattle and fences. Having to rent grass, put the cows we still have on.
Did you have to truck them a long ways to rent grass?
We got some grass over at Greensburg, so that's 60 miles.
So have you been able to bring them back home now?
Yeah,
or?
Just got some back the other day, and we kept some. We were dragging deads, and our grandson was helping me. He's 10. I guess he was 9 then. And we started in the morning, and towards evening, he said, "Look, Grammy, there's green grass already coming." And so that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, and then, rain, like I said, rains came and grass came back quicker than you'd ever, than we thought it would.
Do you have any places where the grass didn't come back at all?
No. I have a patch or two and some alfalfa.
You didn't have anything that was blowing after the fires when the wind?
No. Oh, we had a little field that blew a little bit, but, the pastures did. There wasn't anything on the hold of
Do you have any memory of the smoke? How long it hung around after the fire? I mean, the smell of smoke.
I swore a month later, when you opened the garage, you could smell it. Honestly, when you drove over the hill and come to Ashland where it started out, you could smell it for a month, I think.
Different every day? How it smelled?
Nope, just the same old nasty, damp, smoky smell. It came out of the vents in our grocery getter. I hadn't driven it in a while, and I got in it to drive it.
Are there any stories in your family about prairie fires? Did your dad ever tell any stories about fires or anything that he'd experienced?
No.
Or any that you remember when you were little?
No. We had that one, was it 2011? I think, that burned up north of our house. I started over, I think, at Vernie Howell's and came across there. And I can remember watching all the firefighters then, thinking how many firefighters there were then that had come and responded and burned, got it put out just right there north of us.
So Tuesday, when you were moving cattle and getting stuff situated, did you see any firefighters? Did you see any trucks?
Yeah, in different places. Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. We'd see some. I looked out, I think it was Wednesday night, just north of our house, there were some trees, and I could see some flames in a tree stump. And I called in, and I said, I didn't have any hoses left to go out and put it out.
Right.
So I called, and I said, if anybody's up this way with a fire truck, could they just come squirt that out, because... The wind's out of the north and our house is still here. It's what we got left. We were laughing on the radio. And after she hung up, I remembered I had a water trailer out there that had water. So I went out and put it out. And bless those guys' hearts, they showed up, scared the bejeebers out of us about midnight to put it out. They've been busy putting out other
Was it local
things.
People or
yes,
was it the...
It was local.
Did you have any experience with the strike teams that came?
Just visited with them, but no. Just visited with them at the, cafeteria.
Did you go eat meals in town?
Yeah, we ate at the cafeteria a couple of times, yes. Yep.
What do you perceive of being positive coming out of the fire?
The response. And this was a terrible, horrible, awful thing that happened, and it made the very best in people come out. And you can't ask for more. I mean, the grass will grow back, but to have your faith in people, reinforced, that's the best. Yeah. There's people everywhere.
Did you get to talk to some of the volunteers that came and
find
out why they came or tell your story to them?
Yeah, we talked to some of them.
What's your impression of the people that came?
Boy, they're giving, because I don't think I'd want to go to your house and fix your fence for you. That's, you know, that's work. And those poor people, we had the people that first came up from Oklahoma, the first day they got there was dirty and windy and warm. I mean, they came in and their faces were just nothing but dirt because that old ash blowing. And I think the next day or the day after that went to raining and cold and windy or something. They got the full gamut. Yeah. But they just hung in there and did it.
Yep. So have you thought about what you would do to prepare for the future if something like this happened again? Have you made some preparations or thought about what you would take if your house burned? Have you been doing
pictures? I've got pictures. And I've had them sitting in the place where I could just grab them. But that happened so quickly that I didn't grab them. But
did you grab the diaper bag?
I grabbed a diaper bag. I grabbed some formula. No, wait a minute. I grabbed formula. I did not grab the diaper bag because we were without diapers. I had to stop at Dollar General and Cold Water and get diapers. And bless Diane Humphrey's heart, she and John took Wade because I didn't have a car seat. So they put him in their car. As far as preparing for it, it is what it is. You know, it's just, if it comes again, they're out.
What about the community or the area? Do you think there's some preparations that we need to do in case there's something like this again? Or
I think our volunteer fire department staff has done everything possible. They're up to date. They do everything they possibly can. The state of Kansas needs to step up and get some more fire support. It's ridiculous how poorly we are funded and how poorly they can react to it. And I'm extremely disappointed in them.
We didn't have any of our usual mutual aid. That's why they brought in the strike teams, and they fight fire a different way than what we're used to fighting. But what about the other stuff that went on around town? I mean,
I got so tickled when it came on the raid on TV that they were getting ready to evacuate Ashland, and they were to go to Coldwater, and Englewood was to go to Oklahoma. Oklahoma's on fire too, people. Where are those poor people going to go? So I felt a little sorry for Englewood people.
I think it was tough.
Yeah,
because there wasn't any place they could go.
Yeah.
So you said you went down to Buffalo. Did you stop in Buffalo at all, or did you just turn right and
we turned
left and
turned left and went east? Then there was a highway patrolman parked alongside, and I was following John and Diane by then. And John pulled in there to talk to him and said we could get on to Coldwater.
Yeah. So you didn't see any flames down that way?
No.
No smoke?
Just smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was smoky. I don't know where we ran out of smoke. I suppose a month later.
Yeah. It was hard to tell, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was kind of bad. Let me see. Do you have any other thoughts about this experience? Is there anything that stands out in your mind or something that really touched your heart? Or
no. It's just the fact that we're going to be okay. We will be okay. I do not like the term victim because that indicates that we got injured or we were affected by it. but I don't feel I was a victim at all. I was affected by it, yes. It's not the end of the world. There's a lot worse things that can happen. We've got each other, and everybody's still alive. I mean, yeah, the cows, you miss them, but...
You think it would have been different if we'd had some loss of life or some injuries?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Where those kids died in Texas, yeah. We had bought cows from that place. I'd been down in there, and I can understand getting trapped in that mess. And I feel so bad for them, those people that lost family members. But, no, we're going to be okay.
And what about your horses? Did you go have breathing treatments for your horses?
Yep.
And a lady, how did that work?
I wasn't there for it, actually, but... We've got a niece that does it to her horses all the time. A lady came, I'm not sure where she was from, came and gave all our horses breathing treatments and said there's a lot of black, that coughed up a lot of black stuff. One horse in particular caught up, and her eyes were mattered a lot. She's okay now. They're all okay.
Is there anything that surprised you about the whole thing?
Why the horses were there?
Yeah.
I guess it's because they were in corrals.
Nothing to burn in the corral, right?
We had some horses in a corral that had a round bale feeder and half to two-thirds of a round bale of grass hay in there, and that grass hay burned to the ground. Oh. And the horses didn't have any singed hair on.
Okay, how'd that happen?
Yeah, good question. I don't know. And the barn is burning. The barn was one side of the corral. And it burned down, and those horses... They're there. They didn't have any place to go. When I left, I probably should have turned them in the alfalfa. I didn't have time. I had no time but to get out.
Were they big planes, or were they...
No,
across the ground type stuff?
I'm going to say they're 2-3 foot high, okay. Flames coming at us.
Okay. Lots of smoke in the background?
Yeah, lots of smoke. Just yeah. Black. Yeah, just...
And did... When you went to Sitka, were you driving through the fire?
I did not drive through fire. I know people did. I did not. But I did see it go by Sitka Hill.
Okay.
And I called Steve Hazen. He was over there. And I said, get your stuff out of your house. It's coming your way.
Was he home?
Yes, he had just gone home for some reason. Kelly was over at Sitka helping Heidi get her stuff out. Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
She said the same thing. They were out getting their horses and whatever, and said all of a sudden it was black.
Yeah.
I said, we got to go.
Isn't that interesting that all of us, when we saw the black smoke, decided it was time to leave? Until then, we didn't feel...
Yeah, it was...
Like it was a big thing.
Kelly and Steve had come out to the house an hour, hour and a half before I left and said, we heard it was coming this way. And we looked west. I said, I don't see anything coming at all. You could see the smoke north of us. And you could see the smoke south of us. There was nothing to the west of us. Nothing.
Right. Yes.
And she says, well, I said, go on and help somebody that needs it. We don't need it here. We're fine.
Yeah.
An hour and a half later, we were.
That quick, right?
That quick. Yeah. Just, we had... Three dogs there, four dogs, they're fine. Didn't hurt them. So they were in pens. So they were fine.
Did you have a gas plant south of you?
Yeah. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, we do have a gas plant south of us.
But it has all chat?
Yeah, it's all... Yeah, so there's no grass right around it.
Anywhere close?
Yeah, no. There's oil wells. It just must have burned by through there. I think one of them burned some flame for a while. You could see it coming up out of the ground. It had a leak or something, but there wasn't anything to burn around it, so it burned away.
It's kind of done now, right?
Just knock yourself out.
Was there anything else you can think of that you'd like to include?
No, I think that, I mean, I had a lot of help come drag dead cattle, Kelly and Heidi and Aaron and a friend of hers. Just everybody just came over and said, what do you need done? And
So when Erin was over here helping there, was she picking up calves that needed help, or did that come later?
That came probably a day or two later, I think, is probably when that started. Because, no, at that point in time, she wasn't picking up.
Whose idea was that?
I think that was her idea. I think she had an idea to help do that, and there's another lady there in Mead that would have the facilities. You know, she knew her.
Right.
And called her and bounced the idea off of her, and together they said, yeah, let's do that. And like she said, we figured, you know, 10, 12 calves, and I think they got 106.
And how many survived out of the 106? Do you have an idea?
No, she said something the other day, and they did lose 6 or 7 or something like that. There was some of them. They did lose.
Did all of them become 4-H bucket calves?
No.
Just a few of them?
Just a few, yeah. And it was not a 4-H project.
Right.
4-H kids pitched in, but there were a lot of other people that pitched in and helped. A neat story that came out of it was there's a little boy over at Mead, and I guess he has ADHD pretty severely. Had his games and stuff. They lived, I think, on the edge of town is where they live, and they wanted to try a bucket calf. And I think several people said, no, they can't have it. And Erin said, yes. If it doesn't work, we'll go get it. Well, who cares?
Right.
And I guess this little boy got up every morning and went and fed this calf, every night went and fed this calf, understood the responsibility of caring for an animal. It got him kind of out. He showed it at the fair.
Right.
You know, his mom, I think, cried a lot of tears over how much it affected him and helped him.
Yeah. So is he going to be a holdover?
I don't remember if they... I think so. I think they got to keep that calf. I think so.
Good thing.
Yeah. So that part there was a good thing. It taught a lot of kids a lot of responsibility in taking care of an animal and also in helping people.
Right.
So it was good.
A win-win all the way around.
Every bit. Every bit.
So cool.
Yeah.
So. Well, thank you very much for coming in and sharing your story, and encourage other people to come in and share with us. So, thank you.
Thank you.
I just have to make sure that it did.